Morning, church. Happy Sabbath. And we welcome all of our visitors here in the church today. Plus, we really give a warm welcome to all of our visitors who are listening either on the internet or on the radio station that we have here today. And we thank you for tuning in. And as we begin with prayer today, I would invite you to bow your head with me, please. Heavenly Father, I pray that as we open your word today, that your spirit would be present to give us wisdom and understanding, and that you would give us a blessing as we worship you. In Jesus' name, amen. We had for our scripture reading today, it came from 1 John chapter 1, beginning in verse 1. It says, "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard and which we have seen with our eyes, and we have looked upon and our hands have handled of the word of life, for the life was manifested and we have seen it and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. And this then is the message which we have heard of him, and declare unto you that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all." Oftentimes it's a little frightening to think of the fact that we are called to be ministers and priests for God, to be a witness for him, to give a testimony of our faith. Years ago, when Linda and I joined the Adventist Church in southeastern Ohio, in Athens, Ohio, we went through a class teaching us how to become lay Bible ministers. And when it was time for us to graduate from that class and actually apply those things that we had learned in the class Sabbath after Sabbath, it was time for us to take some Bible study request cards and start to visit people who had requested Bible studies. I was scared to death. I had never, ever done anything like that before. But the Lord had prompted me to be a part of that class, and I realized that sometimes people are going to ask me questions in that endeavor that I would not have the answers for. And all I could do was tell them, "I don't know the answer," and be open and honest about that. But I will do my best to find the answer, and next week I'll bring it back to you. That way I didn't have to be an encyclopedia of the Bible. I could just be honest and open, and I think that's what God wants us to be, is open and honest with everyone. And he wants us to step out in faith, to be able to go to people and speak to them about our love for Jesus and what he's done for us. You know, I got so excited about becoming a Christian when Linda and I left the Baptist church. We came into the Adventist church. We had been through some Revelation seminars. We got so excited about those new truths. We could hardly contain ourselves. In fact, I told everybody, "And mercy, if somebody asked me a question, look out," because they walked away from me pregnant. You know what I'm saying? I gave them the whole Bible. They were full of information. I had lots of zeal. I didn't have a whole lot of wisdom to temper that. You know what I'm saying? It took 25 years before my family started asking me things about the Bible again. Sometimes our approach is a little overwhelming to other people who are not Christian. We get the cart before the horse sometimes, and we start talking to them about all of the doctrinal issues of the Bible, when in reality, the bottom line of what people need to know is Jesus. They need to know what Jesus has done for us, what he means to us, and how he has transformed our life. And every one of us listening today have a testimony to give to the world. It doesn't have to be an hour long. It doesn't have to be a dissertation that we read. It can be our own personal page out of our life that we share with other people. And it doesn't need to be a long one. It can just be a short 2 or 3 minute statement about how Jesus has come into our life, how he has changed us, and what a blessing it is to be with Jesus day by day. People need to hear about Jesus. And they need to know the benefits of having Christ as our Savior. So I want to encourage you today to think about the witnessing that God has called all of us to. Every one of us have been called to be witnesses for Jesus. In the Old Testament, you know, people used to speak to God face to face. Adam and Eve did back in the Garden of Eden. But when sin entered into their life, they no longer had this face to face communication with God. And so God devised another way to communicate with his people, and so he established priests and prophets to be able to give messages back and forth between him and his people. But you know what? In the New Testament, guess who the priests and the prophets are today? It's us, his people. We have been called to be priests for God. Look with me in your scriptures. Today I'm going to go through a number of texts, and I hope that you will look in your scriptures with me as I go through this. This comes from Revelation chapter 1, and beginning in verse number 5, we'll read Revelation chapter 1, verses 5 and 6. In Revelation chapter 1, beginning at verse 5, it says, "And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and from the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us, and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father, and to him be glory and dominion forever and ever." Listen, friends, we have a story to tell. God has appointed us as his people to be priests for God. That means we tell the story of what Jesus has done. He's washed us from all sin through his blood. Can you say amen for that? Amen. He cleanses us and we become clean. And he has made us priests unto God and his Father to be the glory and dominion forever and ever. We're to give this testimony to the world about the changing salvation that we find in Jesus Christ. Also in Revelation chapter 5, verses 9 and 10, you'll see here in Revelation chapter 5, beginning at verse 9, it says, "And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain, and hast redeemed us to God by the blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth." You didn't think of yourself as being kings and priests, did you? You know, sometimes we think too small of ourselves. We think too little of who we are. You know, we must be mighty important or Jesus wouldn't have come on that life-threatening mission from heaven to this earth to save each one of us. We must have been of some value to God or Jesus wouldn't have come here and sacrificed for us. And so no matter what the devil tries to tell each of us, we're important to God. We have a value that only heaven can evaluate for sure. But listen, friends, if you ever question your value to God, just look at the cross of Calvary. Think about what Jesus has done for you in saving you, giving his life so that you and I could have this assurance that, yes, we're worthy because Jesus is worthy. He has made us worthy. And that's why we sang that song today, "Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is Jesus Christ to be called our Savior and our King." But he has made us as priests for him. In 1 Peter chapter 2, at verse number 5, we also read this. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 5. "And spared not the world, but saved Noah." Oh, I'm sorry, I'm in 2 Peter. Bear with me, please. Okay, here I am. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 5. It says, "Ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ." And in Romans chapter 12, verse 1, we also read something else. It goes along with what has just been read. Romans chapter 12 at verse 1 says, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service." To offer ourselves to God as a witness and a testimony to the world around us, being willing to be used by the Holy Spirit to speak of Jesus no matter where we're at. And then 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 9. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 9. It says this, "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people." Listen, friends, when it's saying peculiar people, that doesn't mean that we're some kind of a weirdo tramping around in the society about us. What it means there is that we have been set apart, a special people that is holy, a royal priesthood, and we are a peculiar people because we don't look like the rest of the world. We don't live like the rest of the world. We don't act like them. We don't talk like them. We're different. God has set us apart by his grace. We live different than everybody else. And it says there that we should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of the darkness into his marvelous light. Praise God for that, that he has rescued us from our own destructive behaviors. So what is the implication of us accepting fully this doctrine of the priesthood of believers? One thing is that in Hebrews chapter 4, we see there that we have direct access to God. Listen to this. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. That's what you and I need, friends. Help in time of need. When we're discouraged, when we're depressed, when things are going bad, listen, that's when Jesus is the closest to us. That's when he's helping us. Listen, the Savior's promise to his disciples is a promise to his church to the end of time. Listen, friends, this is speaking to us today. This wasn't just written for the disciples. God did not design that his wonderful plan to redeem men should achieve only insignificant results. All who will go to work trusting not in what they themselves can do, but in what God can do for and through them, will certainly realize the fulfillment of his promise, greater works than these shall ye do. He declares, because I go unto my Father. And yet the disciples were unacquainted with the Savior's unlimited resources and powers. He said to them, hitherto have you asked nothing in my name, in John 16:24. And he explained that the secret of their success would be in asking for strength and grace in his name. And he would be present before the Father to make request for them. Isn't that good news? That no matter what happens in our life, we've got somebody who's on our side. And every time we pray for some kind of power or help in time of need, guess what? Jesus is our minister in heaven. He's praying to the Father for each one of us. I didn't hear an amen.
Amen.
Listen, friends, when you're feeling weak that you can't go on and you're praying, Jesus is praying for you up in heaven. And we gather strength through our Father, which is up in heaven, because Jesus is praying for us, and there is answer to those prayers. The prayer of the humble suppliant he presents as his own desire, in that the soul's behalf, every sincere prayer is heard in heaven. It may not be fluently expressed, but if the heart is in it, it will ascend to the sanctuary where Jesus ministers, and he will present it to the Father without one awkward, stammering word. Beautiful and fragrant with the incense of his own perfection. Praise God for that. You know, the path that you and I travel is sometimes a little challenging. Sometimes it gets real challenging. And sometimes we all want to throw our hands up and give up and say, I quit. But you know, it is when those times get that challenging that we need to call upon the name of Jesus. And we need to ask him for power and success and victory in our life. So we have direct access. We don't need somebody standing before God to do that for us down here on earth. We've got a minister up in heaven that does that for us. There's only one minister that stands between us and God, and that's Jesus Christ. He is the one who represents us there. But you know, every minister is a member of a church. But you know, every member of the church is a minister. Huh. You thought you only had one minister in this church, didn't you? But actually, when you became a Christian, God has called you to be one of his disciples, and he has ordained that you become one of his ministers, a spokesperson for him, to minister to the world around us. If you don't do it, who will? You going to hope somebody else does? God has called us to be ministers right where we're at. And as we have been gifted by God's Holy Spirit to fulfill a certain portion of ministry in our life, and we step out in faith to do that no matter how fearful we may be or how inadequate we may feel, God will empower us with his Holy Spirit to be a voice for him in the world around us. You may not feel like going to You may not feel like going to Walmart and preaching a sermon on the front doorstep of the church, of the store. But God has called every one of us to give a testimony about Jesus' saving grace in our life. Every one of us have a story to share about what Jesus means to us and what he has done for us. In Acts chapter 8, listen to this here in the New Testament. Acts chapter 8, and we're going to be beginning at verse number 1. It says, and Saul was consenting unto his death. This is talking about Stephen, who was just stoned to death for his witness before the leaders of the church. It says, at that time, there was a great persecution against the church that was which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except for the apostles. Everybody stayed home, except everybody went everywhere except the preachers. They all stayed home that day. And because of the persecution, thank you. My throat's just a little dry. Thanks. Now in verse 2, it says, the devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house and hailing men and women, committed them to prison. Therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. Who was doing that? The ministers. It wasn't the apostles. They stayed home that day. It was the members of the church who saw themselves as ministers for God. They went all over the area preaching about Jesus Christ, his resurrection, and his soon return. They were telling the world. And that's what Jesus said would happen in Acts chapter 1, that after they had received the power of the Holy Spirit, they would go throughout all of the areas and talk about Jesus and what he could do for them. The people needed to hear that. Well, that's no different today, friends. People need to hear about Jesus today. There's a lot of voices screaming and a lot of different stories today, but what people in this world need more than anything else is Jesus. That's what's going to bring peace. That's what's going to bring happiness. That'll bring fulfillment in our life when we have Jesus. There's no distinction, friends, between the clergy and the laity. Did you know that? We've all been called by God. There is no professional class. I was amazed at how often I have heard that in the years that I've been in ministry, how I'm the paid professional. So if there's something that's got to be done, tell the pastor, he'll do it. Thanks for that encouragement. But I'm only one person, and I can't do it all. And what's more, God has not called me to do it all. God has called you to be ministers in this church, to minister to people wherever you live, to witness to the world around you. And listen, friends, God has not called me to do all of that. He's called me to encourage you, to train you, to help you get out into the world and tell the world about Jesus and his relationship with you. I believe that this thought of the pastor has to be the central person who does it all is a thought that's been carried over from the Reformation, from the Dark Ages. You know, most of us think that the climax of all that we do in the church is what happens here on Sabbath morning. But actually, what has happened throughout the week, and you're witnessing, you're living for Jesus, you're giving a model of Christianity to the world around you, that's what's really counting. That's what's happening in the world. You just come here on Sabbath morning to glorify God and get your batteries recharged, get filled up with the Spirit of God, to get refreshed in Christ so that you can go back out into the world next week and tell the world about Jesus and what he means to you. Listen to this. In Desire of Ages, it says here, the path of sincerity and integrity is not a path free from obstruction. But in every difficulty, we're to see it is a time of a call to prayer. Listen, no matter what you're facing today, no matter what challenges are coming upon you, God is calling for you to just take some quiet time and spend with him in prayer. And Jesus will pray for you. And he will help you to gain strength and victory and success. So what's the difference between what happens in many of the churches that came from the Reformation? Well, in the old style of ministry, there was a priest who stood before the people with his back to the people, facing the altar, and he prayed to God. He did all of the ministry while people sat in the church and did nothing. He performed it all. But you see, the difference in our church, in the Protestant church, in the Seventh-day Adventist church, is that this communion table represents all of us as the family of God sitting around this communion table, partaking of the blessing and grace of God so that we can share that with the world around us. And all of us sit around that table as ministers and priests for God. All of us have been called to do that. And that's what God wants us to see ourselves as, ministers, utilizing the spiritual gifts that he has given us. So what's the meaning of this term, layman? Have you ever heard that term, layman, before? You know what that really means? That just means the people of God. Now listen, you're the people of God, you're layman. But guess what? Pastors are people of God too. Can you agree with that? We're not God. We're people of God, just like you. And all of us have been called in whatever area that God has gifted us, in whatever way that God wants to use us, God has called us as his people to give a voice to the world about Jesus and his saving grace. That's what God has called us to. And not all of us fulfill the same function in the church. Paul gave this illustration of the body and how each the body have different parts and each one functions differently. I can only do so much. And I'm only supposed to do so much. You know, I had a professor when I was in seminary years ago. He said, you know, brothers, a pastor needs free time so that he can think. I was telling our brother John that I've had people call me at 3 o'clock in the morning, 2 o'clock in the morning. I've had one lady call me at 2 o'clock in the morning. I had been all Sabbath. I had been visiting. I had been going into meetings. And I was so exhausted around 11 or 11:30, I finally laid down and went to sleep. 2 o'clock in the morning, my phone rang. I'm fumbling around for the phone in the dark. I finally found it, and I said, hello. And the lady on the other end said, oh, Pastor, were you asleep? She said, oh, that's okay. You're like a doctor anyway. And just went on to tell me her story. I've had people wake me up at 3:30 in the morning, 4:30 in the morning. Pastor, you know, I was up. I couldn't sleep, so I thought I'd give you a call. Thank you. Call me at 4 o'clock in the morning and say, Pastor, I was up taking my medication, and I was thinking of you, so I thought I'd call you. Thank you. The pastor's a person of God just like you. And that means that we work together in unison to accomplish the goal of glorifying God and telling the world about Jesus and his soon return. People need to hear this message of hope, and they have to hear it from somebody that has experienced it. That means his ministers, his priests, which all of us are, the world needs to hear that from us. Every one of us are laity. We're all ministers. We're all a part of this lay ministry that God has called us to. God has committed this ministry to every one of us. Look with me, if you will, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and I'm going to be reading verse 17 through 20. This is 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 17 through 20. It begins here in verse 17. It says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. This is terrible to be on a radio station and have something in my throat like this. I apologize to everybody listening today. In verse 18, it says, all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ. And he hath given us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. And now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be you reconciled to God. Listen, friends, God is calling for you and I today. Whoever's listening or watching today, he is calling for us to be reconciled to Jesus Christ and to be reconciled to the Father through him. Have you been reconciled to the Father through Jesus Christ? Have you? God is calling, appealing to us today to come to Jesus and let him make reconciliation for us through his sacrifice at Calvary. But then he's calling for you and I as ministers and priests for him to help the world as ambassadors for Christ to know who Jesus really is. He's calling for us to fulfill that goal. The work of God in this earth can never be finished until men and women comprising our church begin to do the work that God has called them to. The work will never finish when one person is doing it. It'll finish when we all work together in the gifts that God has given us, doing those things that God has called us to do. And you might be saying, well, what do I do? I've had so many people over the years tell me, I don't know what to do. Well, I can tell you one thing that's really simple that you can do. Pray. Just start asking God to have the Holy Spirit impress upon your heart, what does he want you to do? And if you're really serious about that, you're praying with integrity and sincerity, God's Holy Spirit will reveal to you exactly what he wants you to do that day. And when we're praying that God will give us that kind of spiritual discernment that we can hear the voice of God's Spirit guiding and directing in our life, he will start putting people in our path that we can share Jesus with. Some people are a little afraid of that. Yeah, that's a little scary. God, what do you want me to do? I prayed that prayer, and guess what? God told me you need to go into the ministry. You have to leave the job that you love and move away from the house that you're at and go to another place, to a foreign state you've never been to in your life, and go to college and get a degree so that you can become a minister. That was a little frightening. But I followed the voice of God anyway, and here I am today. We survived it. God has blessed us abundantly because we followed God. And every man, woman, and child that has ever heard the voice of God and have been sincere about following it, God has protected them. He has blessed them and empowered them to be a voice for him in the world. And he's calling for every one of us to be able to be reconciled through Jesus Christ and to be an ambassador for Jesus to the world around us. In Acts chapter 6, in verse number 1 and onward, Acts chapter 6, beginning in verse number 1. In those days when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. Then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, it is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you 7 men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, and whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith of the Holy Ghost, and Philip of Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch, whom they set before the apostles, and when they had prayed, they laid their hands on them, and the word of God increased, and the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. Praise God for that. Because the people had the courage to step out and say something for Jesus, to be used by God. The ministers, the apostles, they knew they couldn't accomplish it all on their own. God had not called them to do that. They were to spend their time in prayer and ministry of the word. And the church members who were called as ambassadors for Christ were to be the ministers who would go out into the community and witness for Jesus. And the result is that a number of disciples were multiplied in Jerusalem, more workers for the Lord. And there was many of the priests who had been in opposition to Jesus now became a part of the kingdom. They now became a part of that family of God because they became obedient to the faith that had been presented to them. Someday, you and I are going to have the privilege of speaking to God face to face. But today, friends, we must trust in faith that God is with us and that he has called us to do something for him. In Matthew chapter 28, beginning at verse number 18, Jesus is calling for each one of us to follow the instructions that he has given us. It says here in Matthew 28, 18, Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. Listen, friends, we're not alone in this ministry. God has called us. And guess what? He's called each one of you. Whoever you are, wherever you're at, wherever you're listening today, God is calling you. And he's calling for you to trust in his power. That's why Jesus said in verse 18, all power is given unto me. He's the all-powerful, mighty God of the universe. There is nothing too hard for God, is there? I don't think so. And God can empower us to be a witness for him. And he gives this command. It's not as I wish you would do this. It's not that maybe if you get time from your busy schedule of watching TV or whatever it is that occupies your time, if you get the time to do that, no, God's not saying that. He said, go. It's a command from God to go and to give this message of the gospel to the world around us. Go and make disciples for Jesus Christ. Someday you will see him face to face. May we see him now in our daily experience with him. God bless you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your blessing. I thank you for your love. I thank you that you have sent Jesus Christ to this earth to redeem us to you. And I pray, Lord, that you would make us all ambassadors for you, that as we utilize the gifts that you've given us, that we'll be a witness in the world for Jesus. Help us, Lord, to be faithful to that calling. We pray and ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.